Dr. Paul, welcome to With the Wind, Science Revealed. My guest today is Mayor Brandon and his wife, Joey. We discuss his journey after COVID vaccine injury and what he did with becoming a mayor and his wife's role in his recovery from the vaccine effects and the whole journey of becoming a mayor. This is a fascinating episode. Dee Dee gets us to know them as a couple and what it was like for them going through this. Enjoy the show. Dr. Paul, coming to you from the heart. It's on my heart to talk about community. I feel so blessed to have this community, those of you who support this show, those of you who watch. And I feel blessed to have people in my life who are loving, nurturing, supportive, no matter what, who are able to give me unconditional love. And I wish for all of us that we really make an effort to unite and be a community. Be a community that puts love first. Be a community that's not judging one another for different views, different opinions. And then locally, whether it's start in your home, but start in your town, we need to be involved. We need to know our neighbors. And regardless of differences, extend that. You know, I grew up in a village and we knew everybody in that village. And if one family was having dinner, and somebody else walked by, guaranteed they were invited in to eat. Sometimes they didn't come in. They were just on their way by to their family to make their own dinner or whatever it was. But nobody would go hungry. There was such a sense of community. Kids could run free, play until dark. The parents didn't have to worry because every adult in that community was looking out for everybody's child. We were all one community. We need to get back to that. We need to get out of our silos. And so from my heart to yours, let's do something, some little thing to enhance our sense of belonging to a community that's greater than what we have today. Welcome, Brandon and Joey. It is so great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Paul.
Thank you so much for having us.
That's enough. So, for our viewers, you're going to hear quite a story. And so don't click off too soon, because what you all have done with the situation you were dealt is quite remarkable. As background, I know you shared that you've been married for 16 years. You live in a small town in Minnesota, Taylor Falls. You have 3 children, 10, 8, and 6. But let's just start off. Maybe Brandon, tell me about your life. And Joey, you can do the same. Sort of what got you to the point where we have a story that relates to COVID, I believe, and the COVID vaccine.
Absolutely. Pretty normal life. We moved up to where we are after we had our first kid. We were like, where do we want to settle down and raise our family and create a safe, loving environment, a learning environment? And we moved up to Taylor's Falls when we had one and one on the way. And now we have 3. Life was just normal, going about things, never really worried about anything, continued to work. And Jolene was taking care of the kids and keeping me in line. And it was probably one of the best careers I've had. And all of a sudden things changed and it felt weird. It wasn't the small town feel that we thought it was going to be.
Interesting. What were you doing at the time when you say you best time of your career?
I'm still working in the same line. I work in sales for a food manufacturer. So okay. Everything was just rolling and we had a really great year. Got to celebrate it, travel a little.
And you felt the change in 2019?
Yeah, towards the end of 2019, just maybe the beginning of 2020, rumblings were coming through that something wasn't right, traveling was going to stop. I had my last trip, it was February of 2020, and then pretty much was told, don't go anywhere.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a culture shock. It was like, what do you mean? I go everywhere all the time.
So you were told this before the news of COVID hit mainstream media?
Yeah, it was probably maybe a week before, but before that, I knew I could see other manufacturers pulling out of trade shows that I was at. It was very interesting to see them just disappear. I was sitting there by myself. I was like, oh, I'm still here.
That is very interesting. You're the first person I've talked to that was in that field, that line of work. So that's fascinating. So carry on. What happened when COVID hit?
Yeah, no, I was at a trade show and I left that trade show and got told to go home and stay in my house and more would follow. We had weekly meetings. My employer was really transparent about what they were hearing and they shared with us weekly on how they were monitoring the situation. We had Teams calls to let us know that we're okay, we're not losing our job. At the time, they were just going to follow what the CDC says and then some other medical advice they were getting from other partners that the employer wanted to follow. And it was very interesting. I got to hear everything. I don't watch mainstream media. I actually turned it off completely as soon as COVID really started getting, because it was just so much doom and gloom. The first 6-7 months, it was amazing to be told to stay home. You get a full paycheck. We did for a while, but then we started going camping and we enjoyed our kids. It was like, wow, this must be what retirement feels like. And I'll tell you, about 6 months into that, it just did not feel right. The stuff was just not clicking anymore. I didn't like the decisions that necessarily were being made federally. My company was still wonderful, but then the vaccines started rumbling, whatever they called it, warp speed or whatnot. And I just chuckled at it. It's just, this isn't normal. This isn't right. We're being told all this.
Yeah, you had a gut instinct about that?
I did. I'd never seen anything like it. It was like a movie. It really was. It wasn't normal. But what is normal? And that's where I started questioning things. We're very fortunate to live really close to Wisconsin, and they did shut down. We could still enjoy some of the things as a family. But it just wasn't right. And then they started opening up vaccination clinics or camps is what I always called them. And they used weird locations. The Mall of America parking lot was a weird one. That's where my mother went and got both of her vaccines. I told her I wouldn't go there. That's odd. And I waited and I just kept on saying, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to do this. And then the mandates started coming out and we were told that they really want us to get this so we can get back out and see customers. And so I waited and I was watching all these clinics open up, but nothing about what I ended up getting was the Johnson. And you could not find a place in Minnesota, it seemed like, to get it. And I said, I'm only going to do one and done. If I have to do this, I'm not going to do it anymore. This is weird. And so I finally got the opportunity, I guess you could say, to go down to the Minneapolis Convention Center on April 1st in 2020. And it was
2021, probably.
Oh, yeah, 2021. Yep. Sorry. It was very strange. I had the worst feeling standing in line. They gave me a card, asked me what I wanted, and made me stand in the line to go in the auditorium. And this line was just for people that wanted Johnson & Johnson. The other lines were for the others. People were crying and giving each other hugs and saying they're saved. And it was very weird. I didn't want anything to do with it, but I knew if I did it, I might not be able to continue the career that I've been in. Although that was never said that we were going to be fired. My gut was like, everybody else seems to be thinking we're not going to have jobs if we don't do this. And so I did it. And I was almost in tears while I was sitting there getting the shot and the waiting 15 minutes before I could leave in a single row, everybody staring at you. It was just to this day, it still feels very strange.
Yeah. Talk about that feeling.
Scared. Just, this isn't right. It feels like history's repeating itself. I've never thought I'd be marched in. To mass vaccination of a bunch of people. It really does. Now I look back at it, it looks like history is starting to repeat itself. Hopefully not. But who else would march people in? It's just strange. We did. We repeated, and I hate to bring it up, but we repeated what Hitler did. He marched people into places. That's exactly what now I look at. And I'm like, this isn't right. This isn't what freedom is. And that's where it started, where I'm at now. I watched our local legislation. I watched our local politics here. People have been in the positions a long time. I had trust in everybody because they've been doing it a long time. I figured they're going to uphold the Constitution. That wasn't the case. And it was like, just trust. And it's no questioning is what brings trust. And we should be able to ask why and get those answers. And we weren't getting them.
Yep. There were no answers, just recommendations from above.
Yeah.
So how did you do with the shot? Did you sail through it? No problems?
For the first 15 minutes, and then they let me leave. I was sick of that. Was nothing. And when I got home, it was 2 or 3 hours. I was just, all of a sudden, it became lethargic. Pains going through both of my legs. So I sat in our recliner in our living room. And it,
you didn't leave that chair for about 3 days.
Yeah, it was strange. I got a fever that night. That lasted about 6-7 hours. But the pain in my legs didn't leave for at least 3 days. And then I started developing a rash on the side of the body that I got, the right side where I got the shot, from my feet all the way up into my shoulder area. I developed this horrible rash and I developed arthritic symptoms. And it was just, I'd never had this problem before. I'm active. I do a lot of sports. I have kids that I coach.
For everybody that doesn't know him, he is a very driven, self-driven person that is always full steam ahead. And this brought him to a screeching halt when he sat on that couch or the recliner and he said he was tired. He was going to take a nap and he woke up a completely different person that I didn't recognize.
Ah, what were you seeing that was different?
Just fatigue, pain. And I knew something was wrong. I was against the vaccinations from the get-go. So I was so angry at this point that this was happening because I didn't want anything to do with it. But he never came out of the fatigue. He was just, I guess a zombie is a good way to put it. And to see him go almost backwards to where I was the one pushing him to do things was so out of character for him. And me too. I'm always holding him back. And he was, now I was pushing him forward.
Interesting. You look pretty young, Brandon. How can I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 42.
42, yeah. So 42, fit, active lifestyle, and that changed at that point. Has it remained? Did you ever recover completely?
Yeah, he was 30, just had turned 39 prior to his shot. His fatigue level is better, hands down. He still, I would say, gets tired a little more fast, but as far as the energy and his drive is back of just go. But his pain is there.
Yeah.
Golfing, baseball, just simple things that he did fine before, he doesn't do it fine anymore.
And did your employer end up mandating it?
For a while, they did have a mandate.
You were going to be forced to take it or lose your job.
We had the mandate. You either had to get it, and we had a date that was given to get our cards to them, a copy, or let them know that we did it. Or we had the opportunity to get either a religious exemption or a medical exemption. I did really fall in with either of the exemptions, unfortunately, at the time. But yeah, and they were following the CDC guidelines, basically. And as soon as the CDC said, nope, we're not going to do those anymore, it got lifted. Unfortunately, it was about 2 weeks after, 3 weeks tops, after I got mine.
And so, darn. And what steps have you taken to heal your body?
For a while, I went to my normal practitioner and I was just saying, this isn't right. I'm having all these pains. It was welcome to 40. That was pretty much what I got to old 39, but you get, yeah.
You're almost 40. It's normal for you to have pain and fatigue.
Yeah.
Well, and
so
I developed a lump.
Yeah. I developed some different things going on. I had a little lump that showed up. They didn't want to look into it. And it is what it is. I questioned it a lot and I got a lot of pushback. And so it was like, I can't come back here anymore because the values aren't the same. If I don't, basically, if I wouldn't get the booster, they weren't going to help me anymore.
Oh, wow. So your doctor's office was insisting on you getting a booster.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, why would I get a booster if you can't tell me what's going on now? Why would I do more?
We've had a reaction. Right. So more of what we had a reaction to.
It made me open my eyes to find there are a lot more medical practices out there that do things holistically and also listen to each patient's story and come up with a care plan for that patient. And I didn't know that was out there. I just every year went in and did what I was told. And so I found a wonderful clinic here in Minnesota that was against the mandates all along and the vaccines, and they were wonderful. They listened to me. We got some answers on some of my problems. Some of the others, you got them from the shot. We don't know how to do anything about that, but we can do going forward. We'll help you. And I was out of town back at work, and my wife went into a chiropractic office that
searched right in there. And I got to the point where I was so upset at the appointments from mainstream doctors that we had gotten. It was just a dead end. And I felt like this had opened up the door for us to look for more options, but I was still upset because the answers were not good enough to what I wanted. I wanted more. And I picked up my daughter from school, and I had been researching. I knew exactly what I was looking for. And I found this clinic, and I picked her up. We drove there. I merged right in, and I said, I have a few questions. The first one was, could I buy supplements without being a patient here? And can I talk openly about vaccines and vaccine injury? And if I can't, then I will leave. And they were wonderful. She said, come on back. And they had finished up with another patient. And I was brought back, and I was told everything I wanted to hear.
So you are doing essentially research for Brandon at that point.
Yeah. And we had done so many protocols. And I think that's where I got frustrated, is because we did supplement after supplement, and we followed just about every protocol from every different avenue. We had Zelenko, we had FLTCC, we had McCullough, the World Council for Health. And it just got to be so much to where I felt like I was just throwing everything at him. And I wanted it fine-tuned to him at that point, because it was just getting way out of control. And I said, okay, here's what we need. And that was a good find and a smart move to make. And I'm glad I forced him to go. I said, you're going. I want you to worry about it. It's going to happen.
And that really was a turning point in the recovery?
Huge turning point. I think
that is phenomenal. And it's a great point to just point out to our viewers. Holistic, integrative, alternative, whatever you want to call it, protocols, they all can have value, but sometimes you need a skilled clinical person who's in this field to guide you and personalize you for your situation. And that clearly is what you got. So that's great. So let's pivot a little bit to the thing that just fascinated me the most when I heard your story. You went into politics. Let's talk about, had you been interested in politics? And then what did you end up doing and why?
I've always been like one to watch. And I've always enjoyed a good public speaker and somebody that can command a room maybe, or bring everybody together. And what I was seeing was that was no more bringing anybody together. It was telling people what to do. Even at a local level, it was cookie cutter. This is how it's been done. This is how we're going to do it. Nobody has a say. And I just said, you know what? Terms are coming up. It's time to run. And so I announced that I was going to run at our town's holiday festival. We
ran for mayor, right?
I ran for mayor. Yeah, we were at Taylor's Falls. And we were unopposed. So I want to throw that out. I did not campaign against anybody. The existing mayor did not wish to continue and run against me. And that's fine. I think everything happens for a reason. And so in 2023, January, I became the mayor of Taylor's Falls. And we just got to work right away. It's changing things, making sure the voice is back and people, and not just one side of politics, but everybody. And that's what was lost in all this.
So educate us. I'm not politically inclined. As a mayor, what were you able to do?
My first thing that I tackled after we got the ship up and running, so to say, is we did a resolution, a health freedom resolution here in March. And it was a ride. It was wonderful to see everybody come out for it, against it. But we all got into one room and we talked about it and we listened to everybody. And everybody could share their pains and their frustrations. And I would say for the most part, everybody was very nice to each other, even though they might say things tone-wise, not so nice, but everybody listened. And I think that was huge to see some of these people when I was campaigning, and I knew the hatred they had towards one another and a small town of ours was so sad, because we're a little over 1,000 people. And a lot of these people have been here for 30, 40 years. They know each other. They're neighbors. They shouldn't hate each other. Might have differences, and that's okay. And I think that's really what started this.
Were those differences pretty much along political lines, Democrat, Republican?
Yeah, I would say 50-50. My biggest thing is I want to be in the middle and bring them together. I don't talk about my national politics with any of them. They can have their thoughts and think, but then it's really about we all should be in the middle looking at both sides and coming together.
And yeah, some things like health you would think should be regardless of party. We want our kids to grow up healthy, for example. Everybody wants that, whether you're one political party or another. And so why not look at everything with eyes wide open and have a real honest discussion about what's going on and what's best for our kids?
Absolutely. And I think that's where we're heading. Where the whole process was quite interesting with the health freedom. I think eventually everybody kind of, the light bulb went on and said, you know what? It's not Mayor Brandon telling everybody to close your business or Mayor Brandon saying, we're not going to follow. It's saying, we're going to put the voice and the authority back into the business owners. If they want to stay open, stay open. If they want to close, close. If they want to mandate masks, that's their job. That's their business. And you don't have to shop there, but we're not going to ever force somebody to follow what St. Paul tells us to do or what Washington tells us to do. We're going to follow the Constitution. We're going to make sure that everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what would you tell other moms and dads who I'm sure there are so many listening right now who are probably equally frustrated, but don't know what to do? Maybe in a small town, you had a unique opportunity. I don't know, but what would be your recommendation? And both of you can take a stab at this. I know, Joey, you probably have thoughts too.
I have a little one. I know she is. This is Mama Bear here. So I would say that it really starts at the local level. And don't be scared. Just attend the meetings. If you can't personally be there, most of them all are recorded or they're live now. But start going to the meetings. Start meeting your neighbors. There's a lot of groups out there of people in your neighborhoods getting together and talking about what scares them and what they want to see changed. And you're going to learn it all. And it's okay to listen to your neighbor that might be on a different party level or aisle. That's okay. It doesn't have to. You should know it and you should accept it. And they're going to do the same to you. But get involved. Go to meetings. Make sure that you pay attention to your school board. It's detrimental for our kids. It really is. I can't say enough about watching and learning and making sure that you let them know your feelings. And it's okay. They're going to tell you theirs, and then you come to an agreement. And if you don't like it and enough people don't like it, that's why we vote.
Yeah. So school board meetings for sure. For anybody who's a parent, that means you've got a kid in school probably somewhere. Get involved.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you want to add, Joey?
I think everything about it is so uncomfortable. The whole road has been uncomfortable. But I feel that it has been so rewarding. I'm a very quiet person. I don't like to stand up or speak out. So this has been the exact opposite of who I am. But you just get to that point where you got to push back, because when you're being forced to do something, Mama Bear comes out.
And I think like some of the stories you hear, Dr. Paul, some of the people I've met through this journey so far, the tears that we've shed together. I've had citizens come up and say, I wish this mandate or this health freedom resolution. And it's just it's a statement. It's no legal power whatsoever. But some companies out there look at if your area had a resolution saying that we're not going to make you do anything and you do what's right for you. They took that into consideration when they had mandates. And this one lady, I'll never forget her, and she's still with our town and she comes and helps out a lot. She cried and said, if this was here, I wouldn't have had to get her shot. She wouldn't have had to. And she works from home. I've worked from home. So it's just it makes you realize even the people that I might not politically agree with, I've shed tears with them because of the sorrow and the pain they've dealt with. And I think it brings a sense of community back into what we really need. It is all about community.
Thank you, Brandon and Joey, for doing that. And I'm going to bring Dee Dee on to wrap things up with you guys. But I just have to tell you, you've set a great example for those of us who aren't politically inclined to just, get involved. And I think as mayor, you do have the ability to influence the direction of thinking, or at least as you've done, create that freedom movement. You're not telling people they can or can't do anything. You're just providing an opportunity for the ability to have choice.
Absolutely.
And that's what that was being taken away from us all over. Yeah. Fantastic. Do you have thoughts about future politics? Are we going to see you running for president?
That would be quite the challenge there. I think for now, I'm going to keep on taking care of Taylor's Falls, and I'm going to pay attention to what St. Paul is doing. And if they need rescue, I'll be on my way down there possibly. But for now, I got to concentrate on my little town.
Very good. And wait, when you said St. Paul, I grew up in the church, so I'm thinking, wow, he's giving biblical references. And it just occurred to me, you're talking about a town, St. Paul, Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Yes, that's where our capital is. That's you got to keep an eye on that, too.
Because there you go.
The next influencers.
That's true. Again, thank you so much. Here's Dee Dee.
Thank you. Hi, Brandon and Joey. Thank you so much for joining us and being willing to let me dive into your personal lives. So I want to start with, I was listening to Dr. Paul, and I don't know if I heard, but I would like for you, Joey, to explain a little bit more when you went into that doctor's office, and did you get the information at that point that you needed and then brought that home? And then either one of you can just answer as to where, what did that do for you? What did you end up finding that's helped you the most? And where is your health now?
I'll start. You can finish. Yes. He gave me everything that I wanted to hear. Very open discussion on vaccines, which I was very hesitant because they're for obvious reasons. You either can or you can't have that conversation. And he was wonderful. Absolutely amazing. Did I book that appointment? I think I booked the appointment for him and said, you're going. And this is how it's going to be from until we get you to where I wanted him to be, to where how I remember his just energy level. And it's been beautiful. It's been a hard journey, but a beautiful one.
Okay. Brandon, did that help?
It's ongoing. I still go once a month now. At first, I went every week for about 3 months. And part of the journey is a lot of nutrition. And my vitamin regimen changes on a monthly basis now. I get tested for where my certain levels are. We also take a look at my magnetic field through this office as well. And that's really helped. I still have arthritic problems. If I go throw a football with my son for about 15 minutes, I can really feel it in my shoulder. We went bowling two days ago with them. And the next morning, my wrist will swell up. My elbow is really hurt. So it takes me a few days to recover. I push through that because I got to be dad and I got to do sports with my kids. I don't want to stop. I've noticed a huge difference in my energy is almost all back to where it was. I sleep well again, and it's amazing what it's done. It really has. I never thought taking that with some other medical help that I've had, but they've been the primary one of just supplements and making sure that my levels are right.
Okay.
And they have some supplements that's supposed to combat the injury I got from Johnson, and it's been amazing. It really has. And so, yeah, I do feel a lot better. I don't know if I'll ever get 100% again, but I'm able to do the things that I did before.
Good. And you have to have the thought that you will be 100% better. I always tell Doc, if you have the attitude that you're not going to, then sudden you're not going to. So it's time to buck up and have the attitude that you will return.
I like it.
And after the show, I have some suggestions for you for the arthritic pain. So back to the show. So one of my curiosities is, one, are your children vaccinated? And I want to know if it's okay. If that's too personal, let me know. But what it is with them, and has this whole experience made you question anything?
Yes, all of it. No, they did not take the COVID-19 vaccine, but they are vaccinated.
Are they vaccinated CDC schedule or?
Mm-hmm. Yep, as regimen as it comes. I regret everything, all of them. This has been just like every other person who's in the same boat that I am. When you start looking into things, it's really disturbing how much opening up that door has been so hard for me to accept what now I have not looked into before. And I look at everybody else differently now. People shop more on Amazon more than they will read a package insert. Nobody reads package inserts, just
right.
Simple things like that I'm angry at myself for not looking into things more. So, yeah, it has changed everything completely for us
It's not hard. Your kids, did they escape any allergies, asthma?
Nope. Our oldest has allergies. And it's so interesting looking back at everything because there's so many clues along the way. When I look back now, it's like, why was I not listening to that instinct? Now, when they were all born, I did question the Hep B shot. But of course, your mom, you're fatigued, you're tired after labor and delivery. You question it, they vilify you. And you know what? I am crazy. I'm tired. I'm hormonal. You're right. And that's where I left that. But our oldest did have allergies from a very young age. And every time we took them in, the answer was keep giving him allergy medicine. And then when that stopped working, it was just switch brands and keep giving him a different brand. And we did this for years. And I got to the point where I was so angry about shoving a allergy pill down his throat morning and night. Sometimes it was morning and night. Some days it was just one. I got so angry. And that kind of opened up a little more of my understanding of I'm tired of slapping band-aids on everything. Let's stop. But just recently, our second son now has been recognized for a vaccine adverse reaction of aluminum overload. So we're on the detox plan, parasite cleanse, and it's tough. It's really tough when you know that you did that.
Oh, it's probably more of a Dr. Paul question, but can you explain, you just said an adverse reaction and the aluminum. How did you find that out? How did you know? Like, explain that to me.
He had been having some issues quite a while back, and I can almost pinpoint it to one of his routine appointments. And he had a really high fever. I ended up taking him in, and it was like 105. And it was just, again, give him Tylenol and ibuprofen. But ever since then, he has had issues. He's had GI-ish issues.
How old? I'm going to interrupt you. How old was he at the time?
Hey, here.
No, he's younger than that. He was two. I think it was.
This is the middle child. Yeah.
Our middle.
So he just turned eight.
But so he had issues, but he had some bleeding issues where there was bloody nose problems. And it wasn't just, oh, we're having really bad bloody noses. It was going on for such a duration of time that I had to start charting everything because it was like, what nostril? How long was it lasting? Sometimes it was both nostrils. Sometimes it was twice a day. Sometimes it was just over the top bleeding. So we went in and they did lots of different blood work, ended up going down to Children's for more blood work, and nothing came back. Well, so in the meantime, we had fired our previous pediatrician and previous everything and found our new one. And I started talking just the questions that were being asked as a parent of what are your kids experiencing? What is happening? And it just, we kept going back to our middle son, like this has been an issue. And right away, it was like he has had an adverse reaction from probably aluminum overload. And the reason why it hasn't been diagnosed is because people don't know how to recognize when there is an overload.
Okay. So something, so obviously a smarter than normal doctor. So at that point, did you stop vaccinating?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all the kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
No. And we're very open. I'm very open with discussion because I want them to know what I now know. And I can say that in confidence because I was on the other side of, oh, we have to march right in and get our vaccines. And so I've been there. I thought I was doing the right thing, but I never looked. I never asked a question. I can think of every single visit. They don't say anything. The only question is, are you vaccinating today?
Yeah.
And it's yes or no. I always said yes. And then
I'm surprised they asked you, though, because that's actually very unusual.
Oh, well, that's
normally it's okay. I'm going to send the nurses in now for vaccinations. We've got them all lined up. Here they go.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I even think about there was no discussion of just the pros and cons. But I never asked either. And they would just hand you your paperwork as you were leaving the office and away we would go.
And when you, that's the thing, though, Joey, when you know better, you do better. And I have my own guilt with that. And we just have to let it go and move on. Brandon, did you, where were you in this process? Because that's one thing I tell parents now. You go together. You don't go to these visits alone. Well, but we've all is it, what?
I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was going to say we've always went together to all our kids' visits. And less I was out of town, but most of the time we'd schedule around so we could both. And that, and working from home, that's really helped. I have a flexible schedule, so I've never missed any of that. Okay. I can tell you it took me longer to say, why are we changing the way we were taken care of? But seeing the reactions to my middle son and my oldest with his allergies, and all of a sudden things are getting better because we're doing things the correct way, or the correct way for us, makes me wish I could go back. I should have questioned it, because I'm a type of person that isn't scared to question anybody. But why I didn't, I don't know. I can't get the visuals of them 4 or 5 shots into those little legs at one time. And it's just terrible.
I know. Our hearts go, what the hell are we thinking? But we didn't know to question it. That's the thing, is we have to understand. And now that we are. So does that mean your 6-year-old is pretty much unvaccinated?
No, our 6-year-old. I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry, I'm looking at notes and I don't know if I'm right on it. But I have a girl that is 6, is what I see.
Yep, she has her initial ones. And at that point was when we had fire in our old pediatrician. Okay. And I took her in and I said, I'm done. Can I be done? Am I doing more harm than good at this point? Because I have started and then stopped. I was trying to find my ground of where, what I was going to be doing, because I knew what I wanted to do at that point. And I think the other thing that just made me feel so good was she said, this community is huge. And it is. I would have never in a million years, after opening that door, know how big. And I hate to say the word anti-vaxxer, because almost everybody is vaccinated and have had harm done in some way, shape, or form. Right. And now here they are looking at what we should have looked at before.
And I always call that community, it's a pro-health community. We've figured out that way. And people who are completely unvaccinated, they just figured it out faster. So I never say anti-vax, it's pro-health or just an unvaxxed community, and trying to get more people to not use that word.
I'm so floored how big it is. That was the biggest eye-opener to me.
Because we would all be for vaccines if you could get an antigen for a disease that could kill you, but not cause any other risks or issues,
right,
or even death from vaccines. So that part's answered. So let's talk about just briefly, and Brandon, let me know, because this has happened to you, did people were reaching out for you to do programs like Team Humanity? Like, how did you get involved with that?
I got involved with it through Jolene. She brought me to some health freedom rallies down at the Capitol in Minnesota.
Good job, Joanne.
Right after, pretty much I started going right after I was elected. And I got to meet a lot of senators in our state that were saying we shouldn't have done this, or we weren't pro this. And then I got to meet Team Humanity through Jolene, because she did the triathlon with them. And she reached out to them because she saw them speaking about some serious injuries that have really hurt one of the people that put it together. And she said, I'm going to do this. And so I went to support them all, and I got to meet them all. And so I'm trying to be as involved as I can, and hopefully we can open doors together, because it really is a community. Without them, I wouldn't have gotten to meet you both. And so it just would keep on growing the community and make sure that our voice is heard is huge.
That's awesome. So Joey, was Team Humanity part of the unvaxxed community that you now found and was part of it? Or how did you find them?
This was all when we started going to these rallies. Susanna has spoke at the Capitol, and she has spoken at multiple rallies, and I felt like I knew her and she didn't know me. And the more I saw her, I know her story. And there was just something in me that was like, I'm going to meet her someday. And there was one evening where I was scrolling through Facebook, and there she was with Lori. And it was a picture of the two of them crossing the finish line of the triathlon.
Oh, wow.
So I immediately signed up and I reached out to her. I sent her a message and she said, give me a call. And we talked for a little over an hour, and the rest is kind of history. She said, have you met Lori? We're going to put you on the team. We're going to do this. And it's everybody. Everybody has came together from all different walks of life because they have been affected. This one is for the COVID-19 vaccines in particular, is how this group was formed. But it's a beautiful group of people who are just wonderful, and they help each other, whether it's bringing food or just writing a thank you card or a feel better card. It's everybody does what they can where they can do it.
That's incredible. So those are kind of things that we'll put up the links and things to our show. So if our viewers and people out there watching want to know more about those kind of programs. So Brandon, if all these viewers are sitting out there and they want to be mayor in their city and they want to make change, how do they do it?
First steps is go to your meetings, get to know the people that are currently running the city, get to know the city office staff as well, because you're going to be working with them when you become mayor or council member, and really start to go and see if these questions are being answered or asked. So many times I went and it was, this is what we're going to pass. No questions asked, passed. And then we were out 15 minutes. And I'm like, meetings need, there should be questions on most things. Everybody should have questions. And so you got to ask the questions. So go ask the questions if they're not asking them. Learn that way and then put your name in the hat. Like for myself, it's every 2 years. And then council members mostly are 4 years terms. But go. That's you. And you can get on committees. If you don't have time to do a mayor role or a council member role, make sure you get on the committees, whatever committees they have. There's plenty of openings usually. And that'll get you involved to see really what's going on. And you'll have a say, because that's what the committees do. They report back to council. And then you can make an informed decision like we do now. And we will always do that. I hope even whenever I'm gone, I hope people come by and we see what we've done and continue that. And I think it's addictive. It really is to ask questions.
And if you're getting a lot of support, my guess is that, yes, it would continue no matter what. So does that mean you're going to run again till you're old and decrepit?
I've been asked that. My term is coming up here at the end of this year. I have to make my final decision in August, but I don't think my work is quite done yet.
It's not, so. Brandon. You need to let them know you're rerunning right now.
I will.
Okay.
I think they know.
Just keep running.
And I think one thing I got to say is I made it very clear what I did run is it's not a 20-year person. And I'm not picking on the person that was before me, in case he watches this, because he had nobody else paying attention. Nobody else wanted to help. And now we're getting more involved. With that involvement, that learning from people behind, they'll eventually take over and continue what we've started. But yes, I'll still be mayor for another 2 years.
And then you know, Joey will.
Hey, you never know.
Or one of your children. I've heard that kids can be mayors. My other question is just for my own personal wanting to know, do you make money as a mayor?
There is a small salary. If anybody wants to watch me give the money back, they can from our YouTube channel. But I said I would never take any pay. It's very small in our town. Each town's a little different. So I made $2,100 for the year.
My God.
So on the salary is $1,800. Yeah. The salary is $1,800, and then I get $10 a meeting or $50 and something like that. But I just gave it all back to some other organizations within the city, fire departments and the festivals. So
do you still have your job then? Because I didn't hear that with Dr. Paul. Maybe you said it.
Yep.
So you're still,
yep, I'm still working and plugging away. And then look, most of the mayoral duties happen after hours. Most of the meetings are 6-7 o'clock at night. And during the weekends, I meet with people that want to talk and tell me their frustrations, and or I call them and we talk on the phone.
So, Joey, it looks like you have your husband back. I don't see a slouch.
Yep.
I don't see a vaccine injured individual. And I think that's what's really important for people to hear and see. And
yeah,
normally I would come on and ask, what were the emotions? What was it like? But you already really talked about it. But just ending here, what do you want to say to wives or to husbands or support people, partners, that see what's happening to the person that they love and you can't change it?
You can. Not always, but you can. There's always, to me, it didn't matter. I was going to find a way to change it. And we did. I think that there are people out there that will find that, whether it's medically, emotionally, or however, people need to be there for one another. It is always a way.
There is. And I think when I say that somebody might be thinking they can't change it, is you can't make Brandon do anything Brandon doesn't want to do. And I think that's what we see sometimes in this, is that you didn't give up. You weren't going to accept this fact, and you were going to be the motivation, and you would be pulling him. And not everybody has that ability. And So I think that's the thing that you just said is just to not give up. But obviously you both have a wonderful relationship and you have three children that's very important to you that you raise in a healthy way. What do you want your children to know as they get older about this time, this struggle?
That's a really good question.
I want them to always ask questions, and it's okay to ask questions, and it's okay to have your values. And no matter what you learn in school, you keep your values from what you're learning at home and the way you grow up. And if somebody tries to tell you that those values are wrong, that's not the case. And to never stop asking those questions, because if you do, then we're going to be right back to 2020.
Exactly. They're pretty young at that time, especially your little girl. But my thought is, did the kids pick up on anything going on? Did y'all have open conversations? Because I hear a lot of families saying we kept our kids out of it. And for me, I would have wanted my child to understand and know all along what was happening. My guess is y'all did, but can you explain that, how involved the kids were with what was happening to Brandon?
I've been very protective on them saying that anything serious happened. I think they knew because of the amount of doctor visits I was going to and the people I was going to see. And they did come a few times with me, one of them, because I was home with him. But they know I was hurt. They know that I'm making rebounds. And I think I use that as not to be embarrassed and not to be ashamed. And that's one thing that I think anybody that has had injuries, it's okay to talk about them, because the more we talk about them, we're not bad-mouthing those that want to continue that lifestyle. But it's good to talk about it because, A, it relieves the stress. We're not holding it in. And it also opens eyes to saying, you know what, it did work for them. But maybe I should ask questions. And I see my kids asking questions now. During COVID, for the first few months, we were lemmings. I hate to use that term, but we put the masks on, went to Walmart when we could, stayed out between certain times. And after a few months of that, it was like, no, this is not. And so then we started questioning, and so did our kids. And
it's okay to stand alone.
And they still do at school.
It's hard, but I'm proud to stand alone. Yep.
So are they in public school?
Which one? Yes.
And are they wearing masks now?
Yeah.
We're very fortunate in the area. We're a very small town. We have a small elementary school. And after we got through the first year of half going back and this goofy stuff they were doing, and when they went fully back, they didn't make that mandatory. And so I would say majority of the people were not wearing them. There's a few, but now I don't see that at all. Right now, at least.
That's good. So thanks for joining me and Dr. Paul. It was wonderful to meet you, and obviously keep up all of the great work that you're doing. One thing I just want to point out, and I'm sure you know this, that your being mayor and everything that you've gone through with the injury, I think it's important to know that this is mostly about medical freedom and our own personal rights, correct? It's not that the vaccine issue or the COVID issue or any of that. I'm getting that you realized what was happening and that you were being told to do something you weren't comfortable. So you stood up to it, and you're hoping to have other people stand up for their rights for medical freedom. And I think that's what a lot of people are going to get out of this. So I have a feeling people are going to reach out to you and want to know more. Do you feel the same way that it's about medical freedom?
I do. It started out contentious. And I think after numerous conversations, people realize that it's okay to make your own decisions. I'm never going to tell somebody to not go or to wear one or not to wear one. That was never what it was about. It was about, hey, nobody should be controlled on how to live their life. They should be able to do what they feel is best for them, their family, their kids. And we should all just accept it and not treat each other terribly over their decision.
That's exactly it. Thanks again for joining me. And Joey, good work. Keep up on it.
Thank you.
Thank you much. If we can do anything for you guys, let us know.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. It's me, Dee Dee, coming to you from my soul. This is a little different one. Today in the interview, and after watching it, you'll see, we interviewed a couple, right? So the husband and wife, and I'm listening, and Joey was so passionate
about helping her husband to the point where she's telling him what to do. I get criticized a lot for being bossy myself, but I realize sometimes within our souls, when we have so much passion and compassion and love, and there's a time where sometimes I think we know what's best for everybody else. Well, I'm listening to them and talking to them. I realize that a lot of that just comes from this place of deep love, from a wife who doesn't want to lose her husband, who sees her husband sick and affected. In our soul, we want to always do what's best. Sometimes we say things and do things that somebody else receives, and they don't receive it the same way that we intended it. But that's the thing, is when we make sure that we step back and we communicate really from a place of love and understand that people may not always hear what we have to say or get what we have to say, but it's important to know that at least if we're presenting it from a place of love, they're going to get something. And it's the same thing when we receive what other people tell us about that comes from a place of love. We may not like how what it sounds, and it may be uncomfortable or even hurtful or seem hurtful. That's not the intent. But if we feel that way, we have to remember to step back and go, wow, was there something that I'm doing or saying? What is it within myself that I may need to change? Is it something I can change or want to change? That comes from our soul. And when we use our soul to help and come from a loving place, it's truly easier to make those changes and not let it affect who we are personally. Thanks for watching.
I look forward to running together with the wind at our backs, revealing the science that gives clarity in our world that's full of propaganda and misinformation. Visit our website, doctorsinscience.com. Sign up. Donate if you can. Your support makes a difference. And let's make this the weekly show the world has been waiting for. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Paul.